This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين، شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين، سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who listen to the best of speech, the book of Allah, and follow its commandments. And may Allah make us amongst those who come to know the best of ways, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make us amongst his followers. Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. Badi azi bad, nas'alullah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yusallim al-hujjaja wal-mu'tamirin. وأن يردهم إلى أهلهم سالمين غانمين مأجورين مقبولين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We begin by asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give a safe return to all those who are in the pilgrimage, and may all their deeds be accepted and they make it back home safely يا رب العالمين. أكثر من مرة قلنا القرآن يروي القصص. ليس لإشباع الفضول ولكن لفتح العقول. We've said many times that when the Quran tells stories, the Quran does not tell a story to entertain the listeners. Even though stories are naturally entertaining, but that is not the purpose of the Quran. The purpose of the Quran is to use the story to teach people lessons. We tend to pay more attention when we are told a story. يقول ربنا سبحانه وتعالى يقول ربنا سبحانه وتعالى إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. One of these stories, in fact, one of the most repeated story in the Quran, the most mentioned individual by name outside of the prophets of Allah is Fir'aun. Mentioned in the Quran in 67 different places, Allah speaks about Fir'aun. In one of these places, Allah tells us, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. Indeed, Fir'aun, this Pharaoh, exalted himself on the land. Arrogant, full of themselves. عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. And his strategy was that he has made the people of that land, he divided them into different castes, different sects, different groups. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. So what did he do as a result? Divided them and then weakened a group amongst them. What did he do to them? يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. He would kill their sons and keep only their women alive. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Indeed, he was one that spread corruption on earth. على مر التاريخ دائما يكون في فرعون. And historically speaking, there has always existed a pharaoh. The strategy has never changed. The strategy has always been the same. You change locations, you change the names, but the strategy has always been the same. Number one, على في الأرض. All of them, empires, kings, royals, presidents, prime ministers, whatever it is, once they take that route of becoming the next pharaoh, first thing they do is that they deem themselves more important. They may even declare themselves to be a master race. They may even invoke the name of Allah, claiming that they are the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does he do? عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. And then he has made the people into groups, dividing them into different castes. And many times what you do is that you take a group and you label them and you assign all the blame onto them. Sometimes it's the immigrants. Sometimes it's the refugees. Sometimes it's the browns. Sometimes it's the blacks. Sometimes it's the whites, sometimes it's the poor, but you always invoke an exterior enemy. You must do this. This is what we call divide and rule, or divide and conquer. فرق تسد. You take a group of people, and these group of people, they benefit from your atrocities, they benefit from your policies, and you let them know that the only way that they can sustain their position is by constantly oppressing these people. And be careful, because if these people rebel against you, they are going to come back for vengeance. So you must always keep them down. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. Deeming them to be weak. Divide and conquer always works. Divide and conquer undoubtedly always works. You know, when you look into the conflicts in the world today, especially when you look into the major conflicts today, supposedly there are about 20 major conflicts in the world today, meaning that they can erupt at any given time. And we are aware of some of them. But here is the thing. Why divide and conquer? What is it about dividing? See, dividing ensures you remaining in power. Because what you do is that you prevent people from rallying together. You prevent people from uniting, which makes rebelling against you easy. So what you do, keep the people divided. Number two, divided people are easily exploited. What is happening in the Congo? Democratic Republic of Congo. Man, when you look into that country is rich. The Congo is so rich that if the fertile land in Congo were to be all planted, it would feed the entire continent of Africa. That is how rich the Congo is. The Congo made many European nations very rich, especially like a place like Belgium, where ivory and rubber trees, they made Belgium, especially King Leopold, that man, may that man roast in hell, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Of all the people, you know, we speak a lot about Hitler did this, Hitler did that. Nobody has done what King Leopold has done to the Congolese. And what happened is, rubber and ivory, the man declared the entire country as his own personal property. Subhanallah, you know, when you read about Fir'aun, and Fir'aun was infatuated with this idea of cutting people's hands and cutting their legs, that is precisely what King Leopold did. If you did not bring enough quota from the cotton or the crops that you were supposed to, they would cut off your hands. It was told that he kept about 19,000 hands in his palace of people that they cut off their hands. The Europeans were so bothered by him, they said, you're making us look bad. You've got to do something good to the people of Congo. So he decides to sponsor orphans. What does he do? He killed their parents. Now that they're technically orphans, he sponsored them. So what happens now is everybody knows that this is a very, very rich country. Minerals, diamonds, copper, cobalt. But see, if there is a stability, people would want to do this for their own advantage. Because natural resources ought to translate into wealth for the citizens of that land. Well, that's not what they want to do. So what do? Create a conflict. Create a conflict so that the people are too busy fighting one another that in their fighting, you benefit. Wallahi, this is wicked. This is wicked. They do it and they make sure that it is sustainable. One time, Henry Kissinger was speaking to a group of US diplomats. And he said to them, as diplomats, he said, your job is not to resolve conflict. Your job is to manage the conflict. Make sure that the conflict is always there. Make sure that you support these people. Make sure that you support these people, because this way you ensure that you are always with the winning party. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. In Congo, man, you see kids working in these mines, mining diamond, mining copper. And these are kids who belong in school. The job is too dangerous. Nobody cares about that. As long as you bring out the diamonds in the cheapest of ways, this is really what matters most. And as a result, there is a conflict that's happening there. And what we hear is, man, we don't know what's wrong with them Africans, man. They just be killing each other for the longest time. You know, we don't know why they do that, but you know, Africans happen to be very violent and they're very aggressive. And here you are thinking that, man, it's just a Congolese problem. Not knowing that somebody is benefiting from this conflict, it's the same way that Allah told us about, this is how Fir'aun operates. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. Deem them to be weak, exploitable. You can kill them. But there is the interesting part. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. He kills their children. Say, kill their children? Why would you do that? Why would you kill children? Say, because we are afraid of what these children might become in the future. The other day I was listening to a Zionist liar. And please keep in mind, all Zionists are all liars. He was talking about how this 9-year-old Palestinian kid got a hold of an Israeli Uzi. Uzi is like a Kalashnikov, it's an automatic weapon. And he said that this 9-year-old Palestinian kid killed 50 Israeli soldiers. Ya Rabbi Ameen, it happened, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. But it did not. But see, what he wanted to do is that he wanted to convince the listener that a 9-year-old is not a child. A 9-year-old is a terrorist. So when you hear about a 9-year-old dying, don't think that a child has died. We just got rid of a terrorist. And this way, you justify the killing of children. Now you listen to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he dispatches his army and he speaks to them, what does he tell them? Don't kill children. Don't kill women. Don't kill the elderly. If somebody is in their monastery, somebody is in their synagogue, somebody is in their church, don't kill them. These are not the people that you kill. In the old days, they say that when people fought with the sword, only the brave fought. Only the brave fought. When people started guns, using guns, it said that it put the coward and the brave at an equal footing. When people, you know, came up with the dynamites and the bombs, it gave advantage to the cowards. And this is what's happening. What does he do? يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. He kills their children. And he deems, or he only keeps their women alive. And then Allah said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Indeed, he was one of those who spread corruption on earth. You know, one of the most beautiful scenes that we see nowadays is Hajj. In fact, if we really pay attention, appreciate it, we would see it here in our own midst. The idea of farriq tasud, divide and conquer, divide people. In Islam, it is not divide and rule. In Islam, it is about celebrate the diversity and unite people. And Hajj is beautiful. Allah, you'd be looking into these images and you just see people. You see the Africans and the Asians and the Europeans. You see people from all walks of life speaking every single language, where every ethnicity they have sent a representative. A beautiful reunion of the human family. And not only that, but everybody in there believes that no one is great but Allah. Where everybody's repeating, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. See, sometimes we don't appreciate this. This Hindu man comes into a masjid. It was a silent prayer, Dhuhr or Asr. And this is the first time he comes into the masjid, and all he hears is this phrase, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So after the salah, after the prayers, he inquires and he said, what does this mean? You know, every time somebody was saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And it was explained to him, it means that Allah is the greatest. And then the man said, whoa, he said, this is the best democracy I have seen. People coming together and declaring that only God is great. Only God is great. What about the rest of us? We are all equal. You know, this idea of being a master or thinking that you are somehow chosen by God for whatever reason. Man, all this rubbish, man, we don't, that is not for us. So when Hajj comes, you know, we are reminded of this. You know that the term An-Nas, the very last word in the Quran is An-Nas, people. The term An-Nas, people, is mentioned in the Quran in about 429 different places. What are we taught? Allah is Rabb An-Nas, Malik An-Nas, Ilah An-Nas, Kull An-Nas. المسلم الكافر الصالح الطالح الذكر كل الناس We are reminded as you're concluding your recitation of the Quran that Allah is the Lord of all people. He is the King over all people. He is the only deity worthy of worship by all the people. And now you appreciate what the Quran is naturally teaching us. And we grow up, we are aware of our differences, but our differences in the community are only used descriptive. We are color aware, but we're not color based. So what the Quran does, the Quran teaches a Muslim that this idea of this person may not be of my own faith, but this person is equal to me in humanity. One time Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib was passing by and he saw somebody abusing somebody else, and he said, Ya akhi hasbuk, is that brother, calm down. فَإِنَّهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا فَإِنَّهُ نَظِيرُكَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. He said, brother, come down. Even though he may not be a believer, but he is your equal in humanity. And such the Quran teaches us. And most important than the Quran said, do not fall into the traps of the Pharaoh. See, when people unite, there is strength in their unity. So what does Pharaoh do? He comes and he fragments people, putting discord amongst the people. And the Quran said, do not fall into it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in understanding, Ya Rabbil Alameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسوله المصطفى وعلى من بآثاره اقتفى. Now the beauty of being in Hajj, Hajj is supposed to eliminate racism and sexism. Somebody was once asked, what is the most difficult part of Hajj? Said, the most difficult part of Hajj is when you do the sa'i, the going between the two small mountains, hills of Safa and Marwa. And that is a commemoration of what a woman did. The most difficult part of Hajj is a commemoration of what a black woman did. So you leave racist, you leave sexist, you go there, and you come back, you say the most difficult part of Hajj was going between Safa and Marwa, but you still come back, and you're still racist, you come back, and you're still sexist. That's what we call useless acts of rituals. You went there and you did that, but if you came back with the same attitude, despite what you participated in, despite what you have seen, what you were a part of, and that was useless act of ritual. And that's why in our deen, the more we see of this, the closer it ought to bring us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in pondering upon the Quran, in loving the Quran, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to our brothers and sisters, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Be they in Palestine, in Yemen, in Syria, wherever there is oppression, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get rid of the oppressors, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allahumma farj hamma al-mahmumin wa nafis karba al-makrubin waqdi al-dayna an al-madinin. Allahumma arham mawtana wa shfi mardana wa fukka asrana wa afi mubtalana wa akhtum bil-baqiyat al-salihati ajalana. Rabbana atina fi al-dunya hasanatan wa fi al-akhirati hasanatan wa qina adab al-nar. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزيدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
استووا واستقيموا واعتدلوا. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين، فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, tomorrow is our Eid al-Adha festival, and it's going to be happening from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. here at the MIC campus. We have different activities, events. There's going to be food trucks, vendors, a bazaar. Inshallah, there's also a $7 ticket that will get you the rock climbing wall, Ferris wheel, video game truck, bounce houses, and all those activities as well. So that's going to be happening here tomorrow. From 5 p.m. to Isha, pretty much, inshallah. And you can also buy the tickets and get more details at eidmemphis.eventbrite.com. So eidmemphis.eventbrite.com. And second, in July, Saturday, July 6th, inshallah, we have a special program with Miftah, who are bringing Mufti Hussein Kamani from Qalam and then Mufti Abdul Wahhab Wahid from Miftah. And they're going to be holding a program called A Tour of Tales from Prophecy to from a Palace to Prophecy, The Journey of Musa. And you can register for that at miftah.org/musa. And you can find flyers in both hallways. The poster is there as well. So Miftah is coming back to Memphis, inshallah, Saturday, July 6th. And that program is going to start at 6 p.m. And then also that weekend, they will also announce their another program and the guest speaker coming 2 weeks after that on Friday, July 19th, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.